Let us pray. Dear God, open our minds and our hearts that we may hear and understand your word this day. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. We are continuing the series Wayfair Through the Word. There's only two more left, Jude and Revelation. Has anybody been here for all of them? Anybody heard every? Even John hasn't been here for all of them. Oh, okay. One person who has heard a sermon from every book of the Bible. That's great. You know, it's some of these scriptures are very familiar. Some of the books are very familiar. And some of them were not so, we don't know very much about them. And we've probably never heard a sermon from them. And I don't know if it's coincidence or on purpose, but John hands me the ones that nobody's ever heard of. So we have 3rd John, and we had Obadiah. Remember that? Yeah, yay for Obadiah. That's so strange that the Presbytery exec said, a sermon has been preached on Obadiah at Emmanuel Church, therefore it does not need to be preached anywhere else. I don't know if he would say that about 3rd John, because 3rd John at first was kind of blank for me. I didn't see much in it. We're going to read the whole book today. But the way I approach Scripture is that I first pray about it, because it's up to God through the power of the Spirit to open us to Scripture. We can read every commentary in the world. We can read what everybody else says, but it's God that opens us to hear Scripture. And I noticed, you know, what is it that we hear? Because I used to have a church where I had a meeting, a group gathered after church to discuss the sermon. And people would tell me what they heard. And I was just totally amazed, because they heard things I never said. But that's how the Spirit works with us. And I think maybe John's letting me preach this Sunday, because I have to tell you, this will be my last Sunday here for a while. I've been called to be the interim pastor at Faith Presbyterian Church in Sierra Vista. So this will be a short call until they can establish a full-time interim pastor. But they need somebody to fill in, and so I'll be going. So if you don't see me for a while, it's not because I don't like Billy and the music. You know, I like singing in the choir, and that I don't like you, but I'll be down there filling the pulpit and leading that church for a while. And it made me think about how this book and this scripture is about the early church and how it formed and all the kind of dynamics that were happening within the congregations. And so it really is a very useful book, because it gives us insight both into the theology of John and into the functioning of the early church and how it worked. So maybe we should read this. I'll get out my copy, because I have a bigger print. Okay, let's hear the word of God as it comes to us in the 3rd letter of John. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. I was overjoyed when some of the friends arrived and testified to your faithfulness to the truth. Namely, how you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the friends, even though they are strangers to you. They have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on in a manner worthy of God, for they began their journey for the sake of Christ, accepting no support from non-believers. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we may become co-workers with the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing in spreading false charges against us. And not content with those charges, he refuses to welcome the friends, and even prevents those who want to do so and expels them from the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius, and so has the truth itself. We also testify for him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much more to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. Instead, I hope to see you soon, and we will walk together face to face. Peace to you. The friends send you their greetings. Greet the friends there, each by name. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. I think that it's fitting to put the three epistles of John together, because 1 John lays out some theology, the ways John was thinking. 2 and 3 are direct responses to particular instances that happen in a church. So I think if we look at 3 John as a key into how the church was actually functioning, both in the relationship of the people and to each other and their relationship to God, we can understand some of the struggles that were going on and some of the reasons that John wrote a short letter and said, well, I'd rather be there myself because I really need to explain this to you all. So the relationship of the people to each other and the relationship of the people to God was the primary importance to John, how we did that, how we related to each other and how we related to God. Now, John brings out the points that God, this is in his first letter, that God is three things. God is light, God is righteous, and God is love. Those three things he emphasizes. And then he talks about the duties of the church, the duties of the believers, the duties to respond to those three aspects of God are faith, obedience, and love. So love becomes the key that ties everything together, how you relate to God and how you relate to one another. And a person understands these by having a distinct spiritual union with Christ. John demands, basically, that we surrender ourselves and allow God to enter us through Christ, and we then are responsible for that. We surrender ourselves to the will of Christ. Then we can understand what Jesus taught. We can understand the nature of God. We can understand what God tells us. Now, that's a tall demand. I mean, all of us try to do that, but sometimes we just say, haven't you felt lost? And say, you know, I've surrendered myself to God, but something happened. Somebody just put a blind between me and God. And so it's a continuing experience of surrendering ourselves to God, to put our whole lives in Christ's hands and then allow God to speak to us. Now, what was happening in the early churches, they had a lot of churches forming and people, the friends, he used the word brethren, okay? But the friends were going, they were people who went around from one church to another. And it became pretty obvious that the church was believing different things. If they went to one church, they believed this part of Jesus. If they went, they believed something else. And it was pretty obvious to Paul and to John and to other people that somehow this had to be corrected. Somehow there had to be a common understanding of the relationship of God and of Jesus to the people. They have a common understanding of who Jesus was. Okay, so, I mean, I think I mentioned this before, but at the beginning you had Marcion. You had Marcion's followers were a big part of the church at one time, and Marcion taught that there were two gods. There was the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, because the God of Jesus, the forgiving, loving, friendly God, could not be the same God as the God of Old Testament, whose job was to destroy the enemies of Israel and to wreak havoc in the world. He said that couldn't be the same God. Well, there is one God. There is one God. That's the testimony of the church. It's a testimony that we hold, that John held. There were others believed that Jesus was born a human being. He was just a normal person until his baptism. At that time, the Spirit of God entered him and was with him for the whole time of his ministry, and when he was crucified, the Spirit left. That's an interesting theory. There were other people who believed that Jesus was never human. He just appeared to be human, but he wasn't human. He was just God, so he could not make human mistakes. He had no relationship to being human at all. These were struggles. These were definite beliefs, and so if you went down to different churches, you found people who believed these different things. And the point was that John felt, and as Paul, that you had to have a common idea of who Jesus was and how to respond to him in that way. And so what does John say? And we look back at the Gospel of John. So what is John's relationship to Jesus, and what is Jesus' relationship to God and to us? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We look at Genesis, the beginning of Genesis. God created. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. God created. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In John, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word being Jesus, that Word was the Word of creation. Now, sometimes it's hard, you know, I have a hard time getting my head around that, but I mean, what? How did creation happen? I mean, God said, "Let there be light," and there was a sound. Maybe we call it the Big Bang, you know? I don't know what you want to call it. You call it the Om or the Amen, or whatever sound that is. Somehow, out of spirit, God made physical earth, made us beings. Now, I was reading this old commentary from the turn of the century. That's the turn of the last century, not this one. I mean, 1890 something. And they used the word Oriental. And it said, the purpose of all Oriental religions, they included Judaism and Christianity as an Oriental religion, is to understand the relationship between an infinite God and a finite human. That was the goal of all religion, to find out what is the relationship between an infinite God and a finite human. John answers that. That relationship is Jesus. Jesus embodies that. Jesus is fully God and fully human. Jesus is the answer to that question. And so we look at what he did, how he lived, how he moved in the world, what happened. We can't use the word Oriental anymore. That's not a good word. But that was the central question of all those religions, and the answer is Jesus Christ. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father. We held him, and he showed us grace and truth. That's what John says. He gave us truth. That's the truth that is in this reading. Everything he says, "Beloved, in whom I love in truth," and says, "We testify you're talking in the truth." He is saying that he is welcoming all the people who speak the truth as John defines the truth. And that truth is Jesus is completely God and completely human at the same time, even though we might not understand it. That's important to John. That's important to understand, that all these other things are heresies. They eventually became called heresies. But we had a leader of the church, Diotrephes. He somehow didn't believe that. But he was a leader of a church. It's kind of unsure which church this was. But John's writing a letter about him. He's saying there's conflict in this church. Now, there's never conflict in churches, right? We don't have any conflict today. Oh, we have. We believe different things. We have small conflicts, but we've had some really big conflicts in our denomination alone. Just think of the conflicts that caused the Protestant Reformation. We still struggle with how we relate to God and how we are a community of believers. And we all don't, everybody sitting in this room, we all do not have the same belief structure, believe it or not. There are certain things that we believe in common and certain things that we don't. But we accept that we have a community that can worship God and can act in harmony. John is writing to people who are fractured because they have a leader who says, I'm not going to let the friends, the people who John sends, are supposed to bring a letter about what I'm not going to let them in here. I'm not going to read the letter. Why? Because it threatened his authority. But John goes on to say, but Demetrius, he's fine. So what we have is a conflict in the church, and John, the authority of an apostle, been with Jesus, John says, okay, you got these two that disagree, I pick him. Why? Because he demonstrated what John says we need to demonstrate, love. We accept that nature of God, which is love, we take it into ourselves, and then we express that love to the people around us. He said Diotrephes did not do that. He kicked people out of the church. People who disagreed with him, he excommunicated. They couldn't go to church. Is that love? Is that how we act? John says no. Judge people by how they treat. And when he talks about love, the agape love, it's not this attraction or anything else. It's the immense nature of God, which includes compassion, total compassion for others, total compassion for God's creation. That demands a lot. We know we fall short. That's why John has this great prayers of confession in 1 John. But that we fall short of that. But we know if we try to express those feelings, those thoughts, those emotions that are love, rather than things that divide, then we follow what John says, we follow what Jesus taught. I think it's kind of interesting that we do that in the world, even though we're not supposed to judge other people. I think everybody judges other people, right? But John says, look at what a person does. Are the actions of a particular person or group of people, do they demonstrate love? Do they demonstrate compassion? If they don't, they're false teachers. If what they do is not compassionate, then it's false. And we look at ourselves. Sometimes it's really hard for us to present love. It's really hard for us. Do everything we say is supposed to put a smile on somebody else's face, not a frown? We fail at times, but John understood that. But he says, you show your nature by how you treat others, how you act toward them, and how you accept them being a child of God. We look at ourselves. Do we express the love? With God's help, we are called to do that. Let us pray. Dear God, as we come before you, we ask you to fill us with the power of your Spirit that allows us to express love, allows us to recognize that God is in God's own creation and in every other person that we meet. Amen.